We are joined by John Hurdle, whose latest piece takes a look at an effort to remove a series of dams along the Brandywine in order to allow some marine life to start migrating back to some of its ancestral spawning grounds. John Hurdle, we appreciate you taking time to join us on The Green this week.
Hi, Tom.
Let's start with the scope of this effort. How many dams are we talking about in this project? Where are they, and why were they put there originally?
Well, Tom, there were originally 11 dams in between downtown Wilmington and Rockland Mills, which is near Brandywine Creek State Park. That's about a 23-mile stretch. Now, one of those dams has already been removed by the city of Wilmington. That happened last fall. And so the current initiative is to remove or modify 10 dams along that stretch. And they were originally put there to provide water power that drove the grist mills that populated the banks of the Brandywine Creek. Around about 150 of these mills starting in the 18th century.
So what will removing or modifying these dams do for the marine life, the shad, the eels, and the other fish that are in the Brandywine?
It will allow them to reach their spawning grounds in the Pennsylvania portion of the Brandywine Creek for the first time in almost 200 years. And this is a big deal for a lot of reasons that we'll talk about. But at the moment, until now, the fish have only been able to get as far as the first of the dams, and so they've been blocked, and so naturalists are very excited about that.
Now there are examples of doing this type of project elsewhere, including one here in Delaware that you previously reported on. Where were those other efforts, and what were the results? What did we learn from them?
The Delaware one is at White Clay Creek, and back in 2014, a project led by the University of Delaware, which is also involved in this current initiative, at that White Clay Creek, they removed the remains of a Revolutionary War-era dam, and the result of that has been that shad have moved upstream past the site of that former dam around about 4 or 5 miles up towards Newark. Albeit in fairly small numbers, but the folks who are in charge of that see that very much as a win. The other piece of track record here is in New Jersey, in the Musconetcong River in northwestern New Jersey. There's a nonprofit watershed association up there that has spearheaded a partnership that has removed five of these dams since 2008. And what they say is that pretty much as soon as the dams are removed, then the fish come back. So they're seeing that this is a very successful and ongoing project, actually in both places.
Pretty remarkable considering how long those dams have been there. But what you've also reported on is that this effort along the Brandywine is a much more significant, extensive effort, right?
Yes, indeed it is. In fact, the advocates say that this is the biggest on the East Coast and one of the biggest in the country. They're approaching it as a kind of systematic way. Obviously, there's a recognition that for the fish to get from downtown Wilmington up towards the state park, all of these dams have to be either removed or modified in a way that does allow the fish to get over or around them.
As you mentioned, they're not all going to be removed. Some are going to just be modified. What will happen to those ones that are modified, and why are they being left in place?
Well, there's a couple of reasons why they're being left in place. One is that some of them are National Historic Landmarks, and in the case of the Hagley Museum, the museum uses these old dams to help tell its story about the industrial history of the site. So historic value is one of the reasons that some of the dams will be kept in place. But then in the case of one dam down near Wilmington, that's part of the city's drinking water intake. And so that cannot be removed either. And so there's a variety of techniques that are being considered in order to allow the fish to get over or past these dams. And there's one called a fish ladder, which is essentially building a concrete ramp to allow the fish to get up there. There's another thing called a rock ramp, which creates a gradual slope on the downstream side of the dam, right across the whole width of the creek, that also would allow the fish to get past that barrier. And then there's another technique called a bypass, which allows the fish to swim around it. They're all proven ways of allowing the fish to get past these previously insuperable obstacles.
One of the other things your story points out, that this isn't just about fish migration. This dam removal can have some other impacts that are positive. What are they?
The advocates point to improved water quality, an increase in dissolved oxygen levels, which is a very important measure of the health of a river system. They're saying that an increased number of fish will attract other wildlife that prey on the fish, birds, for example. And also that there's recreational opportunities here, more opportunities for anglers and kayakers, for example, to paddle along these what will hopefully be an uninterrupted stretch of river. I should say also that the folks who are leading the charge here are predicting that removal of all of these dams, removal and modification, could result in an additional 26,000 shad in the river.
Fascinating. What are some of the challenges of getting this project done? It's pretty complex. I imagine, you know, cost is part of this equation, right?
Oh, yes. Cost is a significant issue. The nonprofit that is the calling themselves the Brandywine Shad 2020 that's initiating this, they have received some fairly new federal money as a result of this, as a result of the something called the Delaware River Basin Conservation Act. It's a new law that was passed in 2016. They've received some money, around about $240,000 from that source. They're hoping for more this year. They're also hoping for more from the state of Delaware, and they're talking to a number of foundations, asking them to pitch in as well.
Anything else beyond the cost that they've got to deal with?
Well, I think that there's regulatory issues. There is in the case of the historic dams, for example. I mean, those that are classified as national historic monuments, they will require permits from the U.S. Department of the Interior in order for that work to be done. Even given that they are not being removed, I mean, for any of these ramps or channels to be built. To be modified, you know. So there's regulatory issues and the technical challenges.
Is there a timetable for all this work?
Well, the advocates say they would hope to get going with four of the dams this year, and they are aiming to be complete this project in 3 years. But I think it's probably early days to conclude that it can be done within that time. It will depend very much on the funding that they're able to obtain.
We'll certainly keep an eye on it, John Hurdle. We appreciate your time and your reporting on this dam removal project along the Brandywine. Really interesting stuff. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.